talk to us about this, that what you've just mentioned, that yes, there's suffering in the world, there's grief, but God wants what's best for us. To share premise.
Yeah, the way the Apostle Paul puts it is we are sorrowful yet always rejoicing. And that's significant because he doesn't say we are rejoicing but always sorrowful. Always is on the rejoicing. And rejoice in the Lord always. There are reasons to rejoice in God, to find delight in him, to find gladness in him, to find happiness in him. And as you said, Matt, I developed this in the book, but these are all synonyms of each other. And one of the weirdest things that happened in the history of the church, and it happened in the 20th century, you can't find examples of it, at least I couldn't, as I went back historically, prior to the 20th century, some people seeing that the world was trying to find happiness in sin, which has always been true. Of course, people try to find happiness in sin. The problem is not trying to find happiness. The problem is trying to find happiness in the wrong place instead of the right place, which is in God. And so as a result of that, then people began to speak, pastors began to speak negatively about happiness. And then because scripture has all these passages that that most of our translations use the word joy when they could use happiness and gladness and delight and other words, but they usually use joy. And so as a result, some pastors started saying, okay, all right, we're supposed to have joy in Christ, but joy and happiness are completely different things. Happiness is shallow, it's superficial, and it's this and it's that and all the. Now, joy is something that's constant and it's deep, deep down inside of you. Even when you're not feeling happy, you can be joyful. And you know, the joy of many Christians has been so deep down inside of them that it never comes up to their face. Nobody can ever see true happiness that they would be drawn to. You know, you got the joy of Jesus way deep in your heart. Well, it must be pretty deep, and it's sure not coming out, because when I look at you, I see sternness, I see disapproval, I see judgment, I see harshness, and I don't see happiness. Well, let me tell you this. We will not win when we talk about all of the kids that are leaving churches and not coming back. We are not going to win over a generation that properly likes the idea of being happy. That's not the problem. But the problem is they're looking for happiness in the wrong places. And what we're basically saying to people is, if you want holiness, you've come to the right place, this church. If you want happiness, go somewhere else. Well, they will. They'll go out in the world. As Pascal said, all people desire happiness all the time. And every choice we make is the result of that desire for happiness. And then he went on to say, even those who hang themselves are trying to find happiness. And we said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, they're trying to relieve themselves of unhappiness. That's the way to do it. That's not the right way to do it, of course. But the point is, we delight yourself in the Lord, and God will grant you the desires of your heart. Find the pleasure in God. We're commanded repeatedly to do that throughout Scripture. So I think, and even what we said about giving, Acts 20:35 is translated usually, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Greek word is makarios. It means happy making. That's just what it means. It's a simple Greek word that's prevalently used in the ancient world for happiness. So we use blessed or blessed, but that's not the meaning of the original. It's happy. And so happy are those who give. It is more happy making to give than to receive. So even when we're called to give, it's not, oh, okay, now deep in your heart, you're going to be really miserable about having to give away this money, but it's a duty. Check off a box, do your giving, do your tithing, and then do grace giving beyond that. But think of all that you're going to lose out on. No, it's not that at all. Think of all you're going to find. It is more happy making to give than to receive. And if you really want to find the pleasures of God in life, do what he says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. He is the primary. He is the source of all happiness. And he is also the author of the secondary things that bring happiness to us. And then the second commandment, like the first, or coming off of the first, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And you want to find the greatest happiness there is to find in life, find it in loving God and loving others, and then also enjoying his creation around you. God has given us all things for our pleasure. We're told in 1 Timothy 6, in the middle of a passage that's calling us to give generously. He has given all things to us for our pleasure. Of course, it doesn't mean sin. It means the proper use of the good things that he's given us and trusted to us. And so I find joy when I run with my little dog, Gracie. I find joy when I eat a good meal. I find joy looking at God's creation. I'm looking outside right now in Oregon, and it's beautiful. And I find joy in reading good books. I listen to audiobooks. I find such pleasure in those things. I find happiness. It's the same thing. It's happiness in all these things. And I find happiness in sports. I can enjoy a football game. These things we are given us to enjoy. And as long as we don't make the secondary and put it over the primary, who is God. And that's idolatry. When you take the secondary and you make it the primary, that's idolatry. As long as we see God, these things coming from the gracious hand of God, we can fully find pleasure, joy, happiness in these things. All to the glory of God. That, by the way, is what will attract people to the gospel. It's the stern face all the time that we may think, oh, that's a holy face. No, it's just an angry face. And there's a big difference between a holy face and an angry face, because holiness, it guards us from sin, which is the robber of happiness, and allows us to fully enjoy God for who he is, that brings true and abiding and lasting happiness to our lives. Neither our children or grandchildren or neighbors or the world around us are going to be drawn to faith in Christ by fundamentally unhappy people.